Well, good evening. Good to see all of you back. I trust that you've had a good afternoon in the Lord. It's good to have visitors with us. If you're visiting with us for the first time, thank you for being with us. We're glad that you're here. We hope that you enjoy yourself. Be in prayer for those that are traveling and away. It is coming upon that season of travel. People already headed out. Some will be leaving Wednesday and during the week. So be in prayer for them as they travel to family. They'd be safe and have an enjoyable time if they would pause and remember that this is more than football and turkey. It's a time to be thankful. We should be thankful and grateful all the time. But, you know, unfortunately, we get caught up sometimes and we're not. So be in prayer that they will find a moment that they could be thankful. We'll be in Mark chapter 14. We're still studying the book of Mark, verse by verse, Mark chapter 14. Good to have Brother Chase back from Honduras. Been down there with those churches, helping them for a couple of months, and he's back with us. Good to have him here. Pray for him. He'll be traveling, I believe, up to New York here shortly to visit with family for the holidays. Pray for him as he travels. Mark chapter 14. And I think we stopped last Wednesday night on verse number 34, if I remember right. We stopped. Tarry ye and watch. That's where we stopped last week. Mark chapter 14. We'll start reading in verse number 35, and we'll read down. Hopefully, Lord willing, we might get to verse 52 tonight. We'll see, and just take it from there. Mark chapter 14, verse number 35. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now. Take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, Whosoever shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he had come, was gone, he goeth straightway to him and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. And laid their hands on him and took him, and one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and with staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and ye took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having linen clothes, cast about his naked body. And the young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Now we've been studying for a while, looking through the book of Mark for quite some time now. And we've come to this portion in Scripture where we finished off last week, where the Scripture says, watch and pray. But we notice here in verse number 35, and he went forward a little. He went forward a little. You know, it's always amazing to me how that the Lord always goes a step further than he asks us to do. He always goes a little bit further in all things that he does. It's amazing when you look at how he led and he taught in his earthly ministry, and how that he went about simply to do good and to bring glory to God and to see people healed and eventually come to trust him as their personal Lord and Savior. But he was always willing to go a little bit further. And so when he asks us as his followers that we take the second mile, it's not something that he has not already done for us. I dare say that many of us would not have gone as far as he had went here at this moment, in this hour of his need, knowing the fact that there was coming in just a few hours that there would be those that would come and take him as a thief and would take him off to be judged. But more so than that, those that walked closely with him, those disciples that would be there, that he would leave and he would ask them to pray. And of course, they would fall asleep and leave him praying alone. And one of them that had been with him all that time would actually come and kiss the door of heaven and betray him. You know, as if we knew, for instance, that tomorrow morning that maybe our co-worker was going to betray us at work, or, you know, or spread rumors about us, man, we'd be on the phone, we'd be on Facebook, we'd be tweeting, we'd be everywhere trying to straighten that out before it even happened. But the Lord knew it. The Lord knew that Peter would betray him and three times and deny him three times. He knew that Judas was coming, the exact one. You know, when he said, hey, the one that takes sup with me, he knew who it was. And the whole amazing thing was about that he had just finished up washing feet of the very one that would betray him and the very one that would deny him. And as we read here, the scripture says, and they all forsook him. He washed all their feet there in the upper room. You remember a couple of Sunday evenings ago, we went through the upper room scene and we studied that. But he says to them, watch and pray, and he went a little bit further. Let me tell you something, dear friend. You, as the men of your home, you need to go a little bit further. You that are Sunday school teachers, you need to go a little bit further in leading. You that have influence over others, deacons, pastor, song leader, those that have a little bit of extra influence upon them because of perhaps the position they hold, or perhaps the ministry that they're involved in. We need to go a little bit further than those that we ask behind us. I'm telling you, folks are not going to go any further than you go. They're not going to follow you while they are looking back over their shoulder at you. Why? Because then there's obstacles that they could stumble upon. And one of them being you not leading out front. We cannot be like the Pharisees. The Pharisees would lay rules and regulations and graceless truths upon people that they themselves would not lift a finger to even put it through. The Bible teaches us in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, that Jesus began to both do and teach. And that's our example. He went a little bit further. And as he knelt down and prayed, there he began to weep with sorrow, a heaviness of heart. Back up a little bit, you notice the wordings that we went through last week there in the scriptures. It says, verse 34, and he said to them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and began to pray. And he said, if it were possible, the hour might pass for him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou will. Can you imagine the prayer in agony as Christ was there talking to the Father, knowing what was ahead of him, knowing that the cross was there, knowing that in just a little bit that the Father himself would forsake him and turn his back upon him, knowing that he would take the sins of the world upon him, the agony that must have been there. Look over in Hebrews, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 5. Hold your place in Mark. Hebrews chapter number 5 and verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 7. The scripture says, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. The Bible says here, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that fear, in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he become the author of eternal salvation to all them that obeyed him. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 2. The Bible says there in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I believe personally that whenever we look at this portion of Scripture, and the Bible says there that Jesus asked the Father that this cup might pass from him, I don't think for once it was the cross. I don't think for once that he was trying to ask the Lord, hey, if maybe there was some other way that we can get through this. I don't think it had nothing to do, because it said within joy he endured the cross. The Bible says in Revelation 13:8 that he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. He knew before he ever set foot upon this earth in human flesh that his cause and his purpose was to go to the cross of Calvary and to die and to suffer a shameful death for you and I, that we might have eternal life through his death. So I don't think this cup, dear friend, was the cross, as some may think. Now, if you follow that belief, you have that thought, you know, it's free for you to do so. But I believe that it's a little bit something different, dear friend. I believe that it was the cup that involved the awfulness of taking upon our sin and has the sin of the world to be poured upon him, and him to die, a sinless lamb that had never sinned and has never sinned, but to endure our sin for our cause and for our our justice and our justification. The Bible says that it brought satisfaction to God in Isaiah chapter 53, that Christ would die for us. So I think it had all to do with the fact that the sin of the world would be placed upon him, and he would die upon the cross of Calvary. If you would, look over in Psalms chapter 75. Psalms chapter number 75. Maybe this here psalm will give us a picture of the awfulness of sin. Sometimes I don't think we credit sin like it is. Sometimes I think we play and toy with sin because we think it's like a lollipop or a popsicle or something that we'll eat it and then we'll consume it and it'll be gone. That's not the way with sin, dear friend. Sin has consequences. Sin has a curse that it brings with us, onto us because of that. In Psalms chapter number 75, in verse number 8, Psalm 75 and verse number 8, the Bible says there, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out the same, but the dregs thereof, the dregs, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. That is the awfulness of sin. God compares it to the dregs of coffee, you know, like a coffee cup that maybe the filter had broken and those little dregs had gotten down in there. Probably the most awfulest thing I ever drunk in my life was a cup of espresso coffee, I think from Italy, somewhere. It's a little bitty cup of something like that. My friend gave it to me, and man, I thought, well, wow, this ain't much. I'm used to a big old mug about, you know, yay big, and drinking it, you know. Man, I took a sip of that stuff, and before long, I felt like my grandma. My grandma used to, when I was growing up, she'd send me down to the store to get the little bit of red can of snuff. I mean, she'd pour it in her mouth, and that stuff would be all in her teeth. Man, I got to feeling that stuff. What in the world is in my mouth here? And man, I drunk it. You're only supposed to drink about a third of the cup, because the rest of it's nothing but grounds.
And I drunk it all down, it was in my mouth. I couldn't wash it out. And it was just awful. And I'm telling you, friend, that is the awfulness of sin upon a holy and righteous God. Dear friend, is that as he looked at that and as he thought about that pure vessel, that holy vessel, the Lamb of God that had to be spotless was taking upon the sin of the world for you and I. I believe personally it was part of that cup. Said, Lord, let this here, if it's all possible, let this, but there was no other way. Nevertheless, thy will be done. I think it had a lot to do with the fact that there was coming a time, and just a little bit, that the Father and Son would be separate. That they would, he would turn his back and not be able even to look on him as he cried out upon that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Man, what an agony, what a cup that was there to be endured by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 21. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 21. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That what an awful thing for the sinless Lamb of God to take upon our sin. Think about it just for a moment. If you would, just ponder. Because listen, I'm telling you, let me before I go there. If you've asked for forgiveness for God, and you confessed your sin before him and you forsook it, when the old devil, the accuser, brings that sin up into your ear and says, you know, you did this back then, you're no good for that. You couldn't teach a Sunday school class if you wanted to because you were sorry and you've done this. Dear friend, if you've asked God for forgiveness and you've sought the face of God, confessed that sin before him, whenever you go to God, you say, God, I would like to do what you're asking me to do, but I have this awfulness. And he says, what sin are you talking about? Because he has forgiven you, and your sin as far as the east is from the west, he's cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. It's no longer there. But think with me for a moment, because we remember, don't we? Listen, dear friend, I remember some of the awfulness that I've done. I remember some of the sinful things that I've done. Think with me for just for a moment. That's what he took upon himself. For you and for me. So if you think it's awful for you to think about, be honest with you, Brother James, there's some things I ain't telling you. Brother Jim, I'm not going to come to you and tell you. It's done, dead. I've got forgiveness. God, forgive me. It's gone. It's in the past. It's under the blood. But dear friend, there's scars in your head, in your mind. And old devil comes around and be scratching on them scars and trying to aggravate them. Bring them back up and tell you how bad you are and how sorry you are. Think, well, just for a moment. That is what he took upon him. Not just mine, but the world's. So can you imagine just for a moment as he prayed that cup, remembering that Brother Jim's sin, my sin, Brother Debbie's sin, our sins, would be poured upon him, and he became sin for us who knew no sin, so that you and I might be made righteous in him. You think for a moment you wouldn't ask for the cup to pass if it was just possible? But it wasn't possible. And he said, nevertheless, thy will be done. Look in Galatians chapter 3, 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 13. The Bible says in Galatians 3, verse number 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Look back over in Mark chapter number 15, Mark chapter number 15. Mark chapter 15, he said, Preacher, you absolutely dogmatic. Christ wasn't asking to be done away with the cross. I can't be dogmatic because I'm not God. I don't know his mind. I just know that he had a purpose, and the purpose was to go to that cross.
That's right. Absolutely.
He had a purpose.
Yeah.
Was that part of it? We can ask him when he get there. But I can tell you this, if you haven't trust Christ, your personal Lord and Savior tonight, if you died, you'd die and your eyes would be opened up in hell.
Yes.
You won't get to ask him. Won't get to ask him.
Right.
But I know one day, I'm going to get all my doctrine straightened out. I know some of this stuff, y'all think, man, our pastor is like a wild man. I mean, he thinks about stuff crazy. When I get to heaven, hey, in a moment, a twinkle eye, Brother James, I'm going to have a new body. And with that new body, a new mind. And this same book that I've been preaching from all these years is still going to be the same. Because heaven and earth shall pass away, but His Word shall not. I'm going to say, Lord, listen, I preached this over there on this date, and listen, after I got done preaching, I wasn't quite sure if I even got it right. He's my son. Not only did you not get that right, this whole bunch here, this here craziness right here you laid out there, but I still love you. I still love you. Look at what it says in Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15 and I believe verse 34. Mark 15, verse number 34. Listen to what it says here. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice. Said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? All right, I ask you to think about that sin that you don't even want to think about. That hurt that you caused and that division, that rift and that pain that you caused that God has already forgiven you about. Think about the moment in your life or moments where you wondered where God was at. So we got the promise. God said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But I'm telling you, there's been times in my walk with the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know where You're at. God, where are You? God, I can't feel any direction, God. I can't see any scriptures that's pointing me in a certain way. God, where are You at? And there was times in my life, in my walk with the Lord, that I felt alone. And then the Holy Spirit of God would remind me of Scripture. I'm with you, son. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I'm telling you, there's moments that I thought my God had forsaken me. So here it is. We're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit been together for eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. But at this moment, He knows the Father is going to turn. You wouldn't ask for that cup to pass? No. I'm just to be honest with you, I'd turn it into the dishwasher. Go ahead, put that little cleaner in there, turn it on, because I'm done with this cup. But my Lord looked down through time. He saw all the folks that's going to come to know Him as their personal Lord and Savior. No. All of them. Not my will, but Thy will. And all this time He's praying. All the great drops of sweat that was pouring out of Him as it was of blood was coming out of Him. And there His followers were. I'm not talking about, listen, I'm not talking about the ones He left. You remember I showed you, He left some over here. He took three, one a little bit further with them. Now, those back over there, He cares more about them. They're bigger prayer warriors, so hey, let's go ahead and go to sleep, you know. But these three, He's going to ask you to come a little bit further with Him. And they're asleep. Snoring it up. He comes back to them. What's wrong? You notice something back there, Mark? This just amazes me. Was it just Peter asleep? In the pictures we read it, was it just Peter? I think He said the disciples. But who did He rebuke? Peter by name, right? And I began to think about it. Why did He just get on to Peter? And I got thinking. You remember a couple weeks ago whenever Jesus told him, listen, there's some things fixing to take place. They're going to come take me. They're going to arrest me. I'm going to be tried at the hands of sinners. I'm going to be put to death. I'm going to rise again. Guess who spoke up?
Peter. Let me remind you, be careful with what you judge, because how you judge and what you mete out is going to be meted back to you. Peter wasn't the only one to sleep. You know, sometimes you throw a rock in the middle of a dog pile, with about 17 dogs out there fighting over a pork chop. You throw a rock out there, how do you know which one you hit? The one that yelps? Got it. Listen, I don't throw rocks at no dogs. I saw them, brother. They took a deep breath. Some of them got their phones out recording for Peter right now. I don't throw rocks at my dogs. I make sure all my animals are fed, every last one of them. All 8 children fed. All of them. You know, the one generally that speaks up the loudest is the one the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with the most. Peter said, "Oh no, Lord, it's not." He actually rebuked the Lord, and now the Lord's coming back to it. He's teaching him a lesson. Teach him a lesson. Hey, be careful. My pastor said this before he died. He said, Pastor Jesus always say this. Brother James said, be careful pointing them fingers because you always have 3 pointing back at you. You old sorry God for nothing. Well, only by the grace of God we are what we are.
Right.
Nothing good comes out of us except God's goodness. Nothing. Listen, I've done been walking on this road a little bit long to know that even good, godly folks can get crossways with God and mess things up bad. And generally what happens, instead of getting right, because God loves you, He wants you to reconcile you. He said, "I left the 99, I come after the one." He wants to reconcile you, he wants you back in the fold. Generally what happens, we're too ashamed to get right, we get bitter. And we get out. And we get out. He said, "Listen, you couldn't wait, couldn't watch." He said, "Truly the spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak," in verse 38. He gave him another warning. "Watch ye and pray." Dear friend, I'm going to tell you, that is still the warning of the day. So, I mean, I am amazed at so many Christians that are not careful, with the radio preachers and TV preachers and the books they buy and the things. Well, they're just so good. Listen, if they deny Christ in any way, shape, form, or fashion, they're not good. Got to be careful. Got to be careful. That's why I encourage you. Have your Bible. Bring your Bible. And study the Word of God. Follow along in Scripture. And if I'm going too fast, or if I speak a little bit like I got rocks in my mouth, and I'm a little bit, I get a little nervous up here, different. This ain't my natural habitat. My natural habitat's out in the woods all by myself. This isn't it. I know sometimes I mess things up. Come to me. We'll sit down with the Bible, we'll look at the Scripture, and listen, I'm not against saying, "Look, the Bible said that, and I messed up on that." Don't come to me with no opinion. "Well, Grandma Smith, you know, she said this way back in 1938. Grandma Smith better have Scripture." I don't think we have any Smiths in the church yet. Then all of a sudden, He said, "Go on, sleep on, boys. Sleep on. The one's coming to betray me." And the Bible says, "And immediately, while he yet spake, cometh Judas, one of the 12, with him a great multitude with swords and staves, and the chief priests and the elders.